Thank you, Lord, for your word. May it speak to our hearts and minds now as we look at it together. And may we come to love and know for ourselves the love that came to earth. Amen. Oops, giving it away now. Okay, who was that? You two don't know. Who was that? Oh, Oliver? Yeah, who was that? Do you know who that singing was? No? Okay, go on, Millie.
Louisa Johnson,
yes. That was in fact Louisa Johnson, the 2015 winner of the X Factor. Last weekend, apparently, almost a third of this nation watched the final show of the series and watched Louisa win. I didn't myself. lots of shaking heads. I was down in Cambridge enjoying an early Christmas with my mum-in-law, with my family and friends. But nonetheless, all those people, millions of people, did watch it. It's now 12 seasons old, and it's still a huge phenomenon here in the UK. So the winner has been decided, and I read in the news that 17-year-old Louisa Johnson can expect to have a chart-topping superstar career on top of the £1 million recording contract that she won as part of her prize. Now, whether she will be a superstar or not, only time will tell. I understand it's actually usually better to be a runner-up in these things because the winners kind of disappear in a puff of smoke after a month or two. However, 7 days have now passed since Louisa's moment of triumph, and we are gathered here this morning to listen to the song of a different teenage girl. And Julie is going to come and read to us now from Luke's Gospel.
Verses 46 to 55, which can be found on page 1026 of the Pew Bibles. Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the gospel of Christ.
Thank you, Julie. Well, that seemed a little bit different, didn't it, from the songs that Louisa Johnson and the fellow contestants have been singing over the past few months. But as Advent draws to a close and we move towards Christmas, are we bringing our preparations to a climax? Are we going to be joining in the songs of praise that surround the world as Jesus, we celebrate Jesus coming into the world? Though we heard only one of the songs, there are in fact two songs in Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at these two songs and how they can inspire our preparations as we get ready to welcome the baby Jesus once again. The song that was just read to us was sung by a young girl who had recently been visited by an angel. And the angel was sent by God to tell the girl, whose name was Mary, that she was to be the mother of a baby boy. And she was called his name Jesus. That was a fairly common name in those days. But this baby boy would take that name Jesus for a very special reason. Because the name means God saves. And that's just what this baby would do. He came into the world to save. But that wasn't at the end of the story, not by a long way, because the angel also told Mary that the baby's father wouldn't be Joseph, her husband-to-be. It would be God himself. Wow! I mean, that's a pretty mind-blowing piece of news to be told. You are going to be the mother of the Son of God. Now, if you were here last week, you would have had the wonderful experience of hearing and seeing our nativity. Yes, we've got Mary with us this morning, I believe. Thank you, Millie. And we were able to, by watching that and hearing the story read to us, get involved in the action once again. But wonderful though it is to see and experience something like a nativity play, it's still an outsider's view. It doesn't really take us into the heart of the message. We can't really feel what the people involved are feeling. We can't really tell what they were thinking, what it all meant. But these songs in Luke's gospel, they help us to get inside the heads of some of the key players in the story. And importantly, they help us to feel something with them of the wonder and the amazing truth that is unfolding before them. Does anyone here like Adele? She's one of my favourite singers. Now, it is true to say that she does not write the most joyful lyrics. But I love her music and her song. Can you imagine the song that Adele would have written if she'd have been given Mary's news? Hello, can you hear me? I'm in Nazareth, dreaming of who I used to be when I was young, no one and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the angel spoke to me. There's such a difference between us. Well, anyway, you get the idea. Regardless of what Adele might write, Mary's song is anything but a depressed, panicky, fearful ballad, what you might expect from someone who has been given such startling and terrifying news. Instead, it's a song of amazement and wonder, as this young woman realizes that she has been asked to give birth to the Messiah. And if you've got your Bibles open, look again at what she says in verses 46 to 48. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. If we think back to the X Factor for a moment, what a contrast to everything we've seen and heard from the contestants and the judges over the past few months. Because Mary turns the spotlight not on herself, but back up to God, where it truly belongs. For Mary, it was never going to be about what she could get by being center stage. Everything she says in her song tells us that the whole experience for her was about what God was going to do in turning the world upside down on its head. Her song is all about worship and wonder. Somebody is going to explode if they don't say something. Oh no, we've changed our mind. So Mary's song is about wonder and joy. And those same ideas are echoed in another of the songs of Christmas. We didn't have it read to us this morning, but it's there in chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles open, you can see it in verses 67 down to 79. Perhaps a bit later in the day, you could go away and read that song for yourselves as well. It's sung by Zechariah. You might remember him from a couple of weeks ago. He was the priest who was struck dumb by the angel, who was sent to bring him wonderful news that his prayers had been answered. He thought he believed and trusted in God. But it turns out that saying you believe and actually believing it are quite a long way apart from each other. Two entirely different things. Everything he thought he believed and understood about God, it was all in his head, but it wasn't in his heart. But in his song, he worships the God who has come to his people. We read in verse 68, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them." Notice that? Has come. Not will come in the future tense, but present tense. Has come. And he's saying this even before Jesus has been born. Something amazing has happened in Zechariah, and it's turned his head knowledge into true heart knowledge, because he has now got a belief that comes from discovering firsthand with joy and excitement that God is the one who keeps his promises. There's a lot about promises in these two songs. Mary talks about God helping his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and all who followed after him, because he'd promised it long ago. Zechariah praises God because the strong king, the horn of salvation, had been raised up in the family of David. David was Israel's greatest king, mighty king, a godly man. Just as God had promised that he would do, raise a horn of salvation up through his family. And he also sings, Zechariah, about how God has been faithful all down the centuries, keeping to the promise that he made to Abraham. Even as we know, because time after time again, people disobeyed God, they turned away from him, they weren't the people that he'd intended for them to be. Just as we are not the people today he wants and longs for us to be. Mary calls God my Saviour. And Zechariah sings of the one who will save his people and forgive them for all the wrong that's in their lives and their hearts. We know that that's what Jesus did on the cross when he gave up his own life instead of ours, so that we could be made right with God forever. But there's one more thing that the songs of Mary and Zechariah teach us. Mary, Zechariah, have you noticed that God's plans so often use people who seem insignificant, who seem unimportant? Mary was young, she was a girl, and girls didn't really have much say in anything in those days. But God had different ideas. Nothing and no one that God has brought into being is insignificant in his eyes. He cares about everyone and everything. Everything is precious to him. Jesus came to turn the world on its head, to bring those who were puffed up with their own importance down to size, and to give honor and respect to those who had little worth in the eyes of the world. He came to teach us to have God's values, not the world's values. And we can do that by first loving God and then loving others and last of all, loving ourselves. These two songs of worship and wonder are a startling contrast to the X Factor, to Adele, to that world, that culture that encourages us to dream about being center stage, about being the next sensation. Here's a teenage girl who steps forward and volunteers to be the topic of backbiting and gossip, just so that God's new hope can come into the world, into a needy world. Mary was ready and willing to go with God's plan, no matter what it cost her. Are we ready to take up a similar challenge? In our second song, here is an elderly man, released from humiliating silence to break with tradition in the naming of his son and to pour out his heart in praise. His was the first heart to be made ready to receive his Lord and Saviour, whose arrival, as he sang this, was only a few months away. We've only got a few days to wait now until we can celebrate Jesus' birth once again. So what do you want to praise God for this Christmas? And how will you greet him? Let's pray. Father God, we want to join Mary and Zechariah in praising you because you are the God who keeps his promises. And we want to respond with joy this morning to the good news of the coming of Jesus. And we want to celebrate, as we wait to celebrate Christmas, we look to his coming again with hearts that are ready and willing to receive him. So help us to be like Mary and Zechariah, willing and eager to share the good news with family, friends and neighbors, and to praise you in all circumstances. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.